So about 5 years ago, we did a fall campaign. So we're doing Unfinished this year. Excuse me. And every fall, we do like a fall campaign. We kick it off. We take a break over the summer months from small groups. We start back up with teen group. We start back up with small groups. And we're looking for hosts for small groups for this year. So if you're interested in hosting a small group, you can talk to me about it after the service. But about 5 or 6 years ago, we did a fall campaign called 40 Days of Community. In that fall campaign, we focused on how we're better together. We focused on what church is all about. And so when we started that fall campaign, we started then the Starting Point group as well. It was literally back then that we said, you know what? It's like we want to place a focus on community. We want other people to know what we're doing together, what our purpose is together as a church. And so I want to share with you the vision we've had since we started Cornerstone and how that relates to this whole God's math thing. It says this, and our Cornerstone's vision was this. It says, our vision is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ by creating environments where people are encouraged and equipped to pursue intimacy with God, intimacy with others, and an intimate understanding of biblical truths, with the ultimate goal of building a community one person at a time. So, like in that video, it's like from the time we started Cornerstone, we've always focused on people. In fact, in recent months, weeks, whatever, as we've been kind of gearing up for the fall, preparing our leaders for the fall, we've been talking about our first impressions, we've been talking about the idea of just kind of going through some training with our leadership team, and even some of our teams, you know, our leaders have taken their teams and tried to just really focus in on the fact that the church is you. The church is me. Us together, the people make up the church. So many churches, they focus on the building, they focus on the structure, they focus on the things that you go to, even just the fact that, oh, I'm going to church. It's like, well, no, I'm going to meet with the church. You know, it's just that idea that the church is the people. And so that's how the early church started out. The disciples, they met in buildings, but they might have met outside in the open air. They might have met in homes. In fact, we'll look at scriptures that'll talk about that in just a moment. But the idea is, this fall, we're relaunching, so to speak. We got a new focus, a new energy, and a new vision for our small groups, where we're actually going to call them our Cornerstone Life Groups. Because the idea here at Cornerstone is, if we're focusing on the people, then what we've always said our small groups are about is sharing life together. And so instead of calling them our Impact Small Groups, and we had meanings for that and all that, we're going to call them our Cornerstone Life Groups, because we want you, one person at a time, we want each and every person to be invested and involved in our small groups. Because if it's one of those things where we're focused on the people, how can you really get to relate and really get connected with other Christians and other people if you see them for an hour and a half on Sunday morning and that's it? And so the idea is, we want to share life together. We want to be with each other and in each other's lives throughout the week and investing in each other's lives. And so I want to encourage you this fall, sign up for a small group. And if you're willing to host one, see me after the service. All right. So today, the main truth I want us to talk about is how we're all witnesses and how we need to be witnesses. And so we're going to talk about God's math. And we're going to look at some verses that'll deal with us being witnesses. And the first passage, the main passage for today, is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. So in Matthew chapter 28, if you got your phones, you can look it up on the Bible app. You can look it up on the screen. Or if you have your Bibles with you, take out your Bibles. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. It says this. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, that's the first phrase we're going to look at, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, all nations, second phrase we're going to look at, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, third phrase we're going to look at, to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, the last phrase we'll look at, to the very end of the age. So again, 1 + 1 = 3. God's math, okay? So you see math is capitalized. My wife, when she edits my sermons, she's always then fixing, you know, my titles and stuff like that. So instantly, if you can imagine a proofreader, she took the, you know, word math and made the M capital and then, you know, small A-T-H. And I was like, no, it's a, and I couldn't think of the word, but where the M stands for something, the A stands for something, the T stands for something, the H stands for something. What is that? Acronym. See, you guys are much smarter than I am. I think I called it an acrostic. So anyway, but the idea is that the math stands for something. So God's math will make sense by the end of this message, and it's not because it's Common Core, it's because 1 plus 1 equals 3, and we'll see that in just a second. The first thing is the M. When it comes to being witnesses, we have a mandate. The M stands for mandate. A mandate is an authoritative order or command. In Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore, go. All right, that was the first phrase. Well, go and do what? You know, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to share the message. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share the message. But the question is, what message? All right, what is it that as Christians we're supposed to go and tell others? You know, we sing the songs in children's church, and maybe you've heard it, go tell it on the mountain. How many of you ever heard that song or you sung that song? So the idea is, well, what message, what are we supposed to go and share? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all right, in verses 1 through 5, this is the message we're supposed to share. Now, brothers and sisters, guess what? That's you and me. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, the good news that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And here's the key phrase here, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, all right, and that he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to the Cephas and then to the 12. And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. See, the disciples were obedient. They followed Jesus Christ. They knew that the message was that you have to take the message, the good news, that Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. And the idea is that's the gospel, that's the good news, that's the mandate that we have as Christians to share with other people. And so in Paul, in his life with the Corinthian church, he wrote a letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:1. It actually says this, it says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. See, the apostles, the disciples, the early church, and it's like in that video, it's like they went out and just shared their experience, their relationship with Jesus Christ. They went out and were witnesses. That was the mandate. They realized that that's what it's all about. It's like sometimes we get caught up, and Pastor and I, we've been talking about this a lot and stuff like that. It's like we look at churches, we look at different methods, we look at the ways churches set themselves up, you know. It's like Pastor and I will never be one of those pastors that wear like the robes, you know. It's like I'm really trying to never be the pastor that wears the tie. But occasionally, you know, there's a funeral or a wedding or something, and you just kind of still dress up and wear the tie, right? But it's one of those things where, you know, there's churches that are more relaxed and casual in style. There's churches that are more formal in style. There's churches that are denominational churches. There's non-denominational churches like ours. And so the idea is that the early church, though, all they focused on was that mandate. All they focused on was that message that they had, that they were to go and share it with others. All right, so when it comes to being a witness, we saw the M. Now we're going to look at the A. The A is our audience, okay? The A is our audience. We all have an audience. That's the group that's listening to what you have to say or watching what you do. Now, in that 40 days of community, some of you may have been small group leaders back then or went through the training, and you'll remember this. Our audience is like our circles. We have our circles of influence. Now, here's what I want you to do, and I like doing this every so often. I try not to do it every time I speak, but I'm going to ask you to do this. Take your cell phones out. I know, in some churches they make you put your coffee away and you have to drink and eat your food before you're done and you got to put your cell phones away. I'm asking you to bring your cell phones out, okay? Now, if you don't know my number, it's in the bulletin. If you know my phone number, okay, then you already got it in your phone. And if you don't, but you don't have a bulletin on you right now, here's my phone number, 860-508-1629, okay? Put the phone number in there because you're going to text me something here in a second, okay? 860-508-1629, okay? Here's what I want you to think about. Who's watching and listening to you? Who's your circles? Where are your circles of influence, okay? What are the things you're involved in where people are watching and listening to you? And do me a favor, just give me like one or two answers. Don't give me like 20 million answers, okay? So, all right? All right, so here's the thing. Who's your audience? Who's the ones listening and looking to you? The disciples, okay? Here's how we make disciples. We make disciples of, and in Matthew 28:19 it says all nations. So that's that second phrase. That's our audience, all nations. All right? So you're going to use your cell phones, and right now I want you to text me, okay, your circles. These are the areas of influence we have in our lives. And okay, my phone's lighting up. All right. Here's the passage we're going to look at. Acts 28, verses 30 through 31, it says this. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. He taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. All right? So everyone that came to see him, he shared Christ. He taught him about Christ. He shared Christ to them. The circles of life from the 40 days community. Who is our circles? All right? First thing. Okay, and I'm going to look at your answers, okay? All right, here's what I got, all right? My ministry partners, okay. All right, I got kids, my children. I got football, my family, my wives and kids, close friends. I got Enfield Republican Town Council. I got work, I got church, I got tyrant toddlers. I got, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. What in the world are you doing to me? All right, you guys are crazy. All right, so the idea, my family and all the people around me in my lives, okay? And then I got, let's see, wives and kids, family, man who goes through the airport. Yeah, okay, I'm not reading anymore. I don't know what that's all about. All right, so here we go. Who is our circle of influence? First, family, all right? The immediate and extended family, those that we call family, all right? Sometimes you got that uncle or that pap or nana or whatever, and they're not even related to you. But those people are your circles of influence. Those people are watching you. They're seeing how you're living your life. Your friends, your neighbors, your people you're involved in clubs or school. Excuse me, that comes under fun. But anyway, friends, neighbors, school, etc. Factory, your work, your professional lives, where you're involved in the community with your work or professional activities. Fun, your gym. Those of you that still go to gyms, you know, we started back in January and most of us are done by now, but some of us still keep going to the gym, so if you're involved in a gym, your hobbies, your clubs, the things you're involved in, our fellowship, our church community, all of these people are circles of influence. All these people are the people we're involved with. All right, the next letter when it comes to witnessing in God's mouth is this, the T, and that is the teachings. The teachings we have Christ's teachings. This is the message. This is what Paul says. Follow my example even as I follow Christ. As I follow what the gospel was, if I follow what the teachings of Christ is, okay? So what are Christ's teachings? They're the doctrines. They're the things that are taught by Christ, the doctrines and precepts practiced by the followers of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28:20, it says teaching them. Okay, so this is some of the teachings of Christ. And if you've looked into the scriptures, if you've read your Bible, it's like some of his teachings come in forms of stories. We call them parables. And it's where he takes a real life example and story and in order to able to illustrate a truth. And so, for instance, there's a parable of the sower. The seed was sown on good and healthy soil. That's the one that grows. The parable of the lost coin. The woman that rejoiced and told her neighbors when she found her coin. The prodigal son, the story of the father who threw the celebration and the party for his estranged son, his lost son that came home. And then we have the story of the one lost sheep. And we're actually going to look together at that one in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. Matthew 18, 12 through 14. It says this: "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier that that one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way," and I love this part, "in the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." So if God doesn't want anyone to perish, if God doesn't want anybody to be without him, to not be in a relationship with him, then how do we reach these little ones? How does he reach these little ones? And it says this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 through 38, it says this: "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" So it's interesting, though, because a lot of times we talk about, you know, praying for someone to be saved, praying for someone to, you know, receive salvation, whatever. You know, it's interesting that he doesn't say to pray for someone to be saved. He actually asks us to pray for harvesters to gather the harvest, for laborers to work the fields, for us as Christians to reach out to others. That's what he asks us to pray for. And finally, we finish with the H in God's math. It's the help that we've been promised and the help that we provide for each other. Help, we have Christ's help. The scripture actually tells us that and says this in Matthew 20:20. Christ sent us the Holy Spirit as God promised to help us be his witnesses. And it says this: "I am with you always." And Christ promised that Holy Spirit that when he ascended into heaven, he was going to send the early church, he was going to send the disciples the power from on high. He was going to send them the Holy Spirit to indwell them. It says this in Luke 24, in 48 and 49. It says, "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." That's the help, the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who enables us. So we talked about it there last week, that it's like the one who helps to spell it out for us so that we can learn what it is that Christ wants to say to us. And so in Acts 1:8, this power is talked about. It says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." See, not only did Christ send us the power and all, but it's like it's his teachings. And then he provided us the power and the encouragement and the blessing inside of us to be able to go out and share his teachings, to be able to share salvation, to be able to share the gospel and the good news. And, you know, it's interesting. It's like in our starting point group, one of the things that we go over is the five purposes of the church. You know, the idea is that as a church, we're better together, that when we do things together, we can actually accomplish great things for God. You know, the purpose of the church, fellowship. And I mean, obviously, we want to fellowship with one another. We enjoy the fellowship time. You know, some of us are more extroverted, so we run around the entire room. Others are more introverted, so we stay in our seats. And then it's the way we fellowship. It's the way we encourage each other. You know, just putting your arm around somebody when they're going through something. But then it's discipleship. The purpose of the church is discipleship. It's growing. It's learning the Word of God. It's learning what it is God's trying to say to us. But then there's also evangelism, reaching out to people, seeing to it that people are getting saved. If you can't invite somebody to church, maybe you can invite someone to your small group. Maybe you can invite someone to come and be a part of the Christmas tree outreach or soup kitchen. When we do the soup kitchen, we do the loaves and fishes in Enfield on the fifth Sunday of the month. I know a lot of people in the community that maybe they wouldn't be drawn to church on a Sunday morning, but maybe they would come and help serve with the church at the loaves and fishes, and it might be an interesting thing for them to see that, you know what, Christians aren't really wackos, that they're really just regular people that like to help and be involved in the community. And so the idea is that we have evangelism, we have ministry where we're meeting each other's needs, and then I'm missing one. Which one am I missing? Worship, thank you. And the idea is that moments of times of prayer and worship, and we gather together on Sunday mornings to worship God together. And those are the purposes, and we talk about those in the starting point. We talk about those in small groups. We go over God's purpose for us as a church. We talk about belonging and growing together, the importance of reaching out to others for Christ. See, these are the things. These are the things that are taught. This is the message that God wants to get out. This is the things that comes together for us to be witnesses. And so again, I'm going to bring you back to 1 + 1 = 3. Okay? This is God's math. How does 1 + 1 = 3? You see it? I don't want to have to explain it to you. Hopefully your parents went over that with you years ago. Okay? All right. But this is a nice cute picture for us too. 1 + 1 = 3. See, Sarah and I had Ari, and so now 1 + 1 = 3. Okay? And the idea is that in our lives as Christians, okay, we are to multiply. And how we grow as a church is by reaching out to other people, to grab someone else into a relationship so that they can be drawn into a relationship with Jesus Christ, so they can be taught the teachings of Christ, so that they can learn what salvation is, so they can get saved, and they can become a part of the body of Christ and the community here at Cornerstone. So let me read this one last passage for you this morning. It's in Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 through 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You see how some of these purposes are being spelled out for us here? Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's our worship service on Sunday morning. It's where we gather together corporately. Okay? Sunday mornings, that's the temple courts. That's the main corporate worship that we gather together as a church. And then it says they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And that's where we get that principle for small groups. That if we just left church to be for Sunday mornings, if we just made church all about one service a week, when you just get together on Sunday morning, how do you really grow? And how do you really get into that deeper level of fellowship? How do you really encourage one another to reach out to other people? How do you think about who's not there with you unless you're drawn together some other time during the week? And I don't know about you, but I need you through the week. And what I mean by that is, as a believer, I need to be encouraged by you through the week. Like I get we all have Facebook and we can stay connected through Facebook. But let's be honest, when you're on Facebook, it is very surface. It is a great tool to stay in touch with those ones that you graduated high school from that live 400 miles away or moved halfway across the country. But when it comes to getting into a deeper level of fellowship and encouraging each other in the Word of God and growing in discipleship, and it comes to ministering to one another, there is nothing like face-to-face. There is nothing like that fellowship that draws us together. It says this, every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They were together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's what it's all about. The idea is God's math is that the Lord is adding to his church daily those that were being saved. But how does that happen? 1 + 1 = 3. So here's the walk away. All right, the walk away is this. If we want to see the Lord adding to the church daily, then we must look at math God's way. We must multiply where 1 + 1 = 3, because when we get together, then we multiply. And here's how we're going to illustrate that, all right? In the scripture, it talks about from 12 disciples with Christ in the upper room. Then it goes from the 12 disciples to 120 meeting. Could you imagine if someone preached from just like this and you couldn't see them during the entire sermon? That'd be kind of weird. All right, so the idea is there were 3,000 that were added to the church. All right, and it talks about that in the scripture, that 3,000 were added to the church. But how does it start? It starts with one. 1 + 1 = 3. And here's how this happens. Kim, I'm going to ask you to put your book down, and you're going to illustrate this for me. All right, we're going to come. All right, we're going to come up front here. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to go grab someone, and you're going to go grab someone. We're going to bring right back to here, okay? All right, do that for me. Kim, one up. Now, I have 1 plus 1 equals 4, so I really screwed up this illustration. But we're going to do this again. You guys are each going to go, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to continue to go around the room, okay, and reach out to one more person you got, and let's bring them to the center, okay? And then you're going to come back again and bring them up until everybody in this room is reached. Let's do that right now. All right, you're going to come with me. We're going to stay right here. Now, you and I are both going to go out and get someone and bring them back to here, okay? All right. Brother, how you doing, Tom? Good. You're going to come with me? All right. And now that you're here, did you go grab someone? All right. Now, each of you are going to go and grab someone. All right. Everybody, you guys keep doing it. Make sure, by the way, once you come back, you got to go back out again. By the way, as believers, it is absolutely important that we remember. All right? Bring them to the center. All right? Bring them to the center, okay? Make sure every person is reached for Jesus Christ. Bring them to the center. Now, everybody, all right? I know my tech team has to stay put. I'm sorry, guys. All right, but there is someone back there that can be reached. There's still somebody back there that can be reached. Nobody is unreachable. All right, now, here's what I got for you this morning, okay? The temptation sometimes as believers is when we reach our one, we stop. We bring that one back to the center, but we forget to multiply. We forget to keep reaching out. We forget to keep going out. I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up. So we're going to go ahead and close out service with everyone right where you are. So you guys stay put, okay? All right? I'm going to ask the praise team. By the way, you guys kind of huddle together, you know, form a circle, whatever you want to do, but I want you looking toward the screen, looking toward me. Here's the way we're going to close out this service, okay? When we reach people for Jesus Christ, the way we multiply is not to stop. The Lord added to the church daily. It didn't say he added to the church 2,000 years ago and that was it. See, God is still adding to the church today. But the way God adds to the church today, it's great. It's a simple truth. He uses the church. And the church is you. The church is you. And so how does God add to the church? How do we add to Cornerstone? How do we add to those being saved? How does God add to the church daily? Because Cornerstone has to keep going out. And by the way, and when you bring them back, then you and them go out again. The idea is you don't stop because that's the message. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that we keep going over and over and over again till, by the way, someone said it was unreachable or something like that. Nobody is unreachable, am I right? So the idea is, and it doesn't matter what they look like, what their background is, your circle of influence, some of you got some really good circles of influence that I probably didn't even get a chance to read, and where your circle of influence is, nobody else in here is there. And that circle of influence is where God can use you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.